to wish everyone a Gmar Chasima Tova, and thank you for coming. Tonight I'd like to discuss two different concepts. One is what I call the great paradox of Yom Kippur. And I'll explain tonight what that paradox is all about. And it applies to every Yom Kippur. But my second topic for tonight is the Emunah and the faith of Yom Kippur, and how it speaks to us during these challenging times. So on the first topic of the paradox of Yom Kippur, I want to mention to you that after the Avodah service in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, we have a number of paragraphs that are very profound and very emotional. And the message in all these paragraphs is one and the same, that the Beis HaMikdash is gone, the Kohen Gadol is no longer serving, and that great Yontif that the Kohen Gadol organized when he came out of the Kodesh Kodashim is no longer. Ashrei Ayin Rasa Kolela, how fortunate is the eyes that beheld that great day of Yom Kippur when the Mikdash stood. Halolamishma ozen da'ava nafshim. The language of da'ava is a language of avelus. And the mood of Yom Kippur will sharply change at this juncture from a mood of great ecstasy when the Kohen Gadol leaves the Kodesh Kodashim and establishes a yontif, a mood of simcha, emismane dar hayokoin gadol, bitseiso mi beis kodesh kadoshim, and then a complete turnaround into a mood that I would say is more appropriate for Tisha B'Av than it is for the simcha of Yom Kippur. And this creates a paradox of a very profound nature. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechta Tainis that Lo hayu yomim tovim li Yisrael ki yom haKippurim v'chamisha sar bi'av. Now the Gemara at the end of Tainis gives us a whole list of reasons why we celebrate Tu B'Av. There doesn't seem to be any downside, but when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, to call Yom HaKippurim the great day of Yontif is very paradoxical. The Mishnah doesn't say that Lo hayu yomim tovim li Yisrael ela bizman shebeis HaMikdash hayakayim. The Mishnah doesn't stipulate that condition. And the impression you get is that the Yontif and the Simcha of Yom Kippur applies today as it did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, it's a day of Avelus. All these piyutim that go on for pages upon pages upon pages, describing all the loss and the absence of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol, seem to give us a mood that's antithetical to Lo Yahayu Yomim Tovim Li Yisrael. And you all know that in the yeshivas, when they end Yom Kippur and they break out in song and dance, you could evaluate, you can sense that simcha, even today without the Beis HaMikdash. It's so tangible, I would say it supersedes any other yontif, including Simchas Torah. So how do we reconcile these two elements? That's my paradox of Yom HaKippur. On the one hand, we commemorate the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Tisha B'Av of sorts. And on the other hand, Lo hayu yomim tovim li Yisrael. Let me spend a few minutes trying to elaborate on this concept of Avelus. Why is it that Yom HaKippurim has that element of Avelus to it? And I'll begin with a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis is very Kabbalistic. It's atypically mystical. And the Gemara says that there are seven zvulos, there are seven firmaments, one higher than the other. And the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up on the top of these seven. But then, there's another element here, which is absolutely fascinating. And that is, that when the Beis HaMikdash was built, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yarad Mirakia HaElyon, he, so to speak, Kaviyochu, comes down from the highest of all the Rikim, where the Kisei HaKavod is, and he sets up his Kisei HaKavod here on earth in the Kodesh Kadoshim. One day in the year, the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh Kadoshim, and according to the Gemara, it's as if he entered into a place where the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now come down in this abode on earth. Of course, Ashrei Ayin Asher Rasa Kol Eila. But let me tell you that the fact that the Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, where the Kisei HaKavod has come down from the highest of the Rakiyim, number seven, has a tremendous impact and sheds a whole new light on what we call the Hazar Lifnai V'Lifnim. Seven times the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the dam from a combination of two different karbonos. And in addition to the seven times, there was one time where he was Zorek the Dam Lamala. So it was Echa Achas Lamala Vesheva Lamata. And this is something that will come up in the Musaf service of Yom Kippur during the Avodah service. What is the significance of Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata? And the Mefarshim explained, based on this sugya in Chagiga, that the Achas Lamala represents the top rakia that housed, so to speak, hosted the Kisei HaKavod. The Sheva Lamata signify and symbolize the seven Yeridos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Shechina Kaviyochel from the top all the way to the lowest. And the Kisei HaKavod moves from the top rakia and enters into the Kodesh Kadoshim. It's very important, therefore, that the Kohen Gadol repeats the word Achas over and over again. The Achas of the seven Lamata represent the seven Yeridos until finally the Kisei HaKavod comes into the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Achas Lamala is an acknowledgement of Almighty God and His greatness, His infinite, omnipotent greatness. So the Achas really represents what all of existence is all about. The Achas of the Rakia HaElyon and the Kisei HaKavod. How does all this impact on the day of Yom HaKippur? And for this I need to quote another Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Yoma, Gedola Tshuva Shemagas ad Kisei HaKavod. And the Gemara bases it on a pasuk in Hoshaya Novi, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. This is going to be the main theme of this week's Shabbos Shuva. Shuva ad Hashem Elokecha. What's the ad Hashem Elokecha? And the Gemara identifies it in Yuma Daf Pei Vav as the Kisei HaKavod. Our tshuva reaches Kisei HaKavod. We Kaviyochel stand in front of the Kisei HaKavod with our tshuva. How does that happen? How is it possible for a human being, as great as he may be, and as profound as this tshuva might be, that he could reach the Kisei HaKavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, the Kisei HaKavod is in the Rakia HaElyon, in the firmament that goes seven levels beyond this world. But the answer is the Gemara in Chagiga. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down one Rakia after the other, until he brought his Kisei HaKavod into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So how does my tshuva enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim? And mathematically, I think there's no other way to go unless we assume that the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is a very unique vidui. It's not an individual vidui. It's not his own private business. But rather, he is the representation of all of Knesset Yisrael. When he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he takes with him the tshuva and the vidui of all of Knesset Yisrael, such that our tshuva now reaches the Kisei HaKavod, because the Kisei HaKavod has descended down to the Kodesh Kadoshim. Ashrei Ayin, Asher Rasa Kol Zos. Imagine that when the Beis HaMikdash was alive and well, and the Kohen Gadol entered into the Kodesh Kadoshim, and he did the various hazos, representing his hodah, his thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for coming down from the highest of the Rakim all the way down to the Kodesh Kadoshim, and the Kisei HaKavod is now accessible. It's within reach in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And once a year, he brings the tshuva of all of Klal Yisrael, as a collective unit, into the Kodesh Kadoshim. His vidui on behalf of all Klal Yisrael elevates our tshuva to that of Ad Kisei HaKavod. Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Our tshuva reaches the Kisei HaKavod. Let me tell you why Yom HaKippurim is such a paradox in the post-Churban period. The apex of the day of Yom HaKippurim was no doubt the avoda of the Shnei Asi'irim. The Torah tells us in Parshas Achrimos, Soyer Echad Lashem, Chatos Lashem, V'achas La'azazel. And what's so fascinating about this is that these two Se'irim, which represent, as I said, the quintessential avoda of Yom HaKippurim, have a tremendous power. When we talk about Yom HaKippurim, at the time of the Mikdash, the main kapara, the avenue, the method, and the agent of kapara was the Soyer HaMishtaleach. The Soyer, as described in the Mishnayos in Yoma, that was taken out with an Ish'iti, who was the Shliach of the Kohen Gadol, and pushed over the precipice. There was a second Soyer, that was a Chatos, Pnimis, that was brought in the Mizbeach HaPnimi on the day of Yom HaKippurim. And the Malbim has a whole discussion in which he tries to analyze what's the purpose of the Soyer HaPnimi. If this is a day of Kapara, that Kapara is achieved by the Soyer HaMishtaleach. The Soyer HaMishtaleach had the power to be mechaper, the Gemara tells us, al kol averos shebatorah, al chayvei krisus, al mises bezdin, al chayvei lavim, al chet sheyesh bo yediyah, she'ein bo yediyah, al zdonos v'al shkogos. This is the universal, all-encompassing kapara that is generated by the Soyer HaMishtaleach. So why do we need the Soyer Lechatos? And the Malbim has an entirely sophisticated, complicated thesis with many proofs that on all the averus bein adam lemakom, the Soyer HaMishtaleach is mechaper. But when it comes to bein adam lechavero, there we need the extra Soyer Lechatos that's brought lefnim. And according to the Malbim, the two Seirim operate in unison, forming one indivisible entity, and they complement each other. One is radically different than the other. One is sent over a precipice, and the other is brought lifnim in the Kodesh. But together, integrated, they created a kapara for all the averos. for the averos that are chamuros, that are very severe, mises bezdin, chayve krisus, chayve lavim, there's zdonos and shkogos. It's the only chattas that we know that could be mechaper for zdonos, for deliberate violations. Bein sheyada, bein shelo yada, we are very often guilty of violating the Torah Chas v'Shalom without knowing about it. We don't even have a yediyah. And the whole year round, you bring a chatos, you can only bring a korban on the Mizbeach as a kapor if you're aware of the sin. The exception to that rule is the Sarya Mishtalech of Yom HaKippur. But yet we need to clinch the kapor and complete it with the Sarya Pnimi that's brought as a Sa'ir Chatos inside the Beis HaMikdash. Together the two of them achieve and generate a complete total kapara. Ashrei Ayin Ros HaKol Eila. How fortunate is the eye who could witness this avoda, which generates the power of Yom HaKippurim, the Tzumo Shel Yom, to be mechapa for all of our averos. We no longer have the Beis HaMikdash. We no longer have the Kohen Gadol. Lifnai v'lifnim with Azoz l'malo l'mata. We no longer have the Shnei Asa'irim. We're really at loss. And it doesn't surprise us, therefore, that at a critical moment, a turning point in the Musaf service of Yom HaKippurim, we shift from an attitude of joy and ecstasy, making a complete fall almost to a deep abyss of Avelus on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. What do we have left today after the Churban HaBayis? And yet, Lo Hoya Yomim Tovim Li Yisrael Ki Yom HaKippur. A very fundamental paradox about this day. I would like to suggest that there are many elements in our Yom HaKippurim today that could replace the Yom HaKippurim of yesteryear of the Beis HaMikdash. And I base myself on a statement of Rabbi Akiva codified in the Mishnah in Yoma. Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem mitarim, umi mitar eschem, avichem shebashamayim, Shenemar lifnei Hashem titar. Rabbi Akiva was an individual who spanned two different periods in Jewish history. The period of the Beis HaMikdash and thereafter the period of destruction. Rabbi Akiva was the great optimist. He never gave up faith. And if we have to salvage something from our Yom Kippur in the post-Churban period, we have to stand on the shoulders of this great giant, Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael. What was Rabbi Akiva trying to convey when he lauds the greatness of Klal Yisrael, how fortunate we are? What do you mean how fortunate we are? We just lost the Beis HaMikdash. No, says Rabbi Akiva. Lifnei mi atem mitarim umi mitar eschem? You think that the only method by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could grant kapara is with the Kohen Gadol lifnai v'lifnim, with the Hazos, with the Shnei Aseirim and the Sarya Mishtaleach, and that crimson Lashon Shel Zahuris that turned to white? No. The kapara of Yom HaKippurim comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And lifnei mi atem mitarim? Forget about the Kohen Gadol. Lifnei Avichem Shevashamayim. This is the great message of hope and optimism, and explains that we still have Simcha. On the formal level, obviously we don't have the Yom Kippur in its full glory. We're missing so much as the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. But in terms of Tahara, in terms of the ability of a man to achieve purity and purify himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate we are. And hence, the great simcha of Yom HaKippur. That simcha can be achieved in many different ways. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos that if we cannot bring the Karbanos in our time post-Churban, we can learn about the Karbanos. Any study of Torah where we learn about the Karbanos is a replacement for the Karban. Elsewhere, Chazal describe Uneshalma Parim Sfasenu that our tefillos, our prayers, are a replacement for the Karbanos that we no longer can bring. But I think above and beyond that, obviously learning about the Shnei Asa'irim is a substitute for bringing the Shnei Asa'irim at one level, and obviously learning about the Kohen Gadol and Azos on Yom HaKippurim and reciting the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. And I honestly believe that even though we have to abridge the service this year on Yom HaKippurim, but not to leave out the Avodah. And the reason is because in the Shalma Parm Sfasen. But the Simcha of Yom HaKippurim is the Simcha of Ashreichem Yisrael lifnei mi atem mitayr u'mi mitayr eschem. It's the Simcha and the optimism and the faith of a Rabbi Akiva who saw the Churban Abayis. He saw the foxes as they exited from the Kodesh HaKadoshim at the Gemara at the end of Makkos, and he understood that the prophecy of Zechariah was guaranteed to come to fruition. Od Yeshvus Kedem Uzkenels Berchovos Yushalayim. This is the great faith of Rabbi Akiva. And it's my humble opinion that this year, because of the paradoxical nature of Yom HaKippur in this year, because we are facing such challenges, such enormous difficulties, and it's all over the world, but here in Israel, as of late, we're suffering tremendously. The fears and the spreading of this disease. I was told in the name of one of the greats, back about 5 centuries ago, some say even the Maharal Miprag, that in the Avinu Malkeinu, instead of Minam Agefa Minachlasecha, because he lived during a time of a plague, he would substitute and he would recite Atzar Magefa Minachlasecha. We already have the Magefa, so we don't have to ask Hashem Minam Magefa Minachlasecha. That's ridiculous to ask Hashem not to bring a Magefa, but Atzar, bring a termination to this Magefa. So living in this period of time, many of us will probably daven b'yechidus on Yom HaKippurim. Others will be lucky to join outdoor minyanim. What is our message of faith and how do we have kavana on this Yom Kippur to emphasize the element of simcha, the great happiness and joy, the ecstasy of Yom HaKippurim, the Ashreichem Yisrael. In order to answer this question, I would like to call to your attention a Gemara at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara debates the concept of Bias HaMashiach. And the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Ein Mashiach ba ve'ein Yisrael migolim ela b'tshuva. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer sets up a condition for Bias HaMashiach. And what is that condition? Ein Yisrael migolim ela b'tshuva. There's got to be tshuva. That's a precondition. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua holds that Mashiach is guaranteed to come whether or not we do tshuva. And each one of these two great Tanoim adduces proofs and invokes different psukim as support text for their opinion. And the question that I want to ask you tonight is, A, how do we paskin? And for that I want to read to you a Rambam in the 7th Perek of Hilchus Tshuva. And the Rambam writes, literally, word for word, like Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Yisrael nigolim ela b'tshuva. Meaning that tshuva is a precondition to geula, to Bias HaMashiach. He paskins like Rabbi Eliezer against Rabbi Yoshua. And the question that I want to ask is that the Rambam himself, in his introduction and in Mishnayos in Perek HaChelek, the last Perek in Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes that there are 13 principles of the faith. And we are absolutely committed to these 13 principles. And the 13th of them is Bias HaMashiach. Anyone, according to the Rambam Shita, who denies Mashiach is a heretic. And this belief, afal pi sheyismamea achakalo, no matter how long it takes until Mashiach comes, we have an absolute faith that he will come. But my question is, why? How? An absolute faith? If ein Mashiach ba ela b'tshuva, unless we do tshuva, and that's a condition, let's look at the world that we live in. Forget now for a moment about the non-Jewish world. Let's just talk about the Jewish world. Do we have faith that the Jewish people will do tshuva? Yes, we have a great Baal Tshuva movement. But what percentage of Klal Yisrael can join membership and claim that they have a membership card in the Baal Tshuva movement? How many of us, when you talk about, I don't know how many Jews there are in the world today, some say as many as 18 million, some say as little as 12 million, where's the great massive tshuva movement? I can talk to you from now until doomsday about those deviant movements, those Jews who are absolutely unaffiliated. I can talk to you about Jews who are assimilated and intermarried. I don't have to go into that. Where our goal for tonight is simcha. So is Mashiach going to come? Do we have an absolute guarantee if we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Yisrael Migolim Ela B'tshuva? And to answer this question, which should bother our minds tremendously, there seems to be a contradiction between one of the Ikrei Hamuna and the Psak, the final ruling of Halacha codifying the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. I would like to quote my Rebbe Zichron Levracha of Soloveitchik, which we would normally be quoting extensively this period of time. And he claims that Yom HaKippurim is a plural Kippurim because there are two kaparos of Yom HaKippurim. There's a kapara of the Yachid and there's the kapara of the Tzibur. On this day of Yom HaKippurim, we stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam as individuals, but that's not enough. How many of us will be able to feel simcha and feel secure that we, through our process of tshuva, will be able to guarantee ourselves that we'll clinch the kapara of Yom HaKippurim with all our tshuva? How many of us realize that despite the fact that we repented last year on Yom HaKippurim, what happened in the interval between that date and this date of Yom HaKippurim? But our simcha and our guarantee for the power of kapara of Yom HaKippurim, says Rav Soloveitchik, is because there's a kapara of the tzibur on Yom HaKippurim. And that's how he explains the language and the nusach that Chazal organized and formulated for the last bracha of every Shmona Esrei on Yom HaKippurim, when we thank Hashem for giving us a day in which there's going to be kapara not only for Avonoseinu, but also for Avonos Amcha Beis Yisrael. Avonoseinu refers to the Yachid, and Avonos Kol Beis Yisrael to the Tzibur. Now I'm in better shape. Now I realize that I can guarantee that I will experience and benefit from the kapara power of Yom HaKippurim, but how? Through the pipeline, through my identification with the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, with Knesset Yisrael, that individual entity that spans all generations, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, as we read in the last Kriya, the last Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We're all there together as a tzibur. on Yom HaKippur, perhaps our identification with the Tzibur, with Knesset Yisrael, is so critical. And that's something that I think has within it the very seeds of the Simcha of Yom HaKippurim. How am I guaranteed Kapar of Yom HaKippurim? Because I identify as myself as part of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. That's what Sefer Yonah is all about. And on Yom HaKippurim, my kavana, no matter where I am, inside, outside, upside down, is going to be that I identify with Knesset Yisrael. I am a carrying card member, I'm an active member of Klal Yisrael. But how does that express itself? How do I bring that to fruition? And the answer lies in this very same Rambam, in Perek Zayin Mehilchus Tshuva. Because the Rambam himself, after he writes Ein Yisrael, Nig'olim Ela B'tshuva, codifying the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, that Geula and Bias HaMashiach is conditional, it's not guaranteed, the Rambam adds another very important sentence, as if he sensed our question. U'kfariv ticha Torah, shesof Yisrael, lachzor B'tshuva. We have 13 animamins. Let's add a 14th animamin. Ani mamin be'emuna shlema b'Knesset Yisrael. Because if I don't believe in Knesset Yisrael, then I can't believe in Bias HaMashiach. And the implicit principle of our faith, the tenet of emuna, in that emuna and Bias HaMashiach, is that I believe in Knesset Yisrael, as the Rambam says, Hivticha Torah, the Torah has promised us. And the Nevi'im, over and over again, when they foresee the ultimate redemption at the end of days, it's Sof Yisrael, Lachzor B'tshuva. They will do tshuva. And Rabosai, I think that emuna, that faith is something that's very, very difficult. Very challenging, and that's where we should be putting our focus this Yom Kippur. That we believe in Knesset Yisrael. Does it mean that every last member of the Jewish people will be chozer b'tshuva? I don't know. But Sof Yisrael lachzor b'tshuva. As difficult as it is to believe, there is what we call the nekudah ha-pnimit, the pintel yid, that really aspires and is thirsty to come out and to identify as a Jew. We are seeing in our time such amazing things. Jews who seem so alienated, so far away, and yet they're identifying as Jews. And I have no doubt that the state of Israel and its existence plays a tremendous role in that. A Jew can feel proud that he is part of a nation that has established this state. And Emir Tzashem, Hashem will give strength and bestow His blessings on that state as it continues to flourish. Our Yom HaKippurim Avoda, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, is Ashreichem Yisrael. We have to identify with the Jewish people. And what that means is we have to be proud not only of their accomplishments, but also to believe and have faith that they will do tshuva. Sof Yisrael lachzor b'tshuva, hence Mashiach will come. And we have to be firmly committed to that belief that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. What should be our thoughts during this Yom HaKippur? If we will apply the principle that learning Torah can be a substitute for karbonos, let us learn a little bit about the Sar HaMishtaleach. The Sar HaMishtaleach is otherwise known as the Sar LaZazel. And the Ramban, in his commentary on Parshas Achremos, asks the obvious question, who is Azazel? And why are we sending a karbon to Azazel? And the Ramban says something that's very hard to believe. It's almost difficult to express it in words and transmit it to others within the context of a serious Torah study. The Ramban says that Azazel is none other than the Satan. And we are bringing on Yom HaKippurim a carbon to the Satan, to Azazel. How could that be? My friends, a carbon that's brought to the Tsar, in this case, the Satan, is nothing other than, nothing short of, Avodah Zarah. Could it be then that the greatest pinnacle of the Avodah service of Yom HaKippurim, that karma, which is mechaper for all the averos, kalos, chamuros, etc., etc., is an act of bringing a karma for the Satan? And the Ramban tries to answer this question. He says that we have to learn a sugya mesechta kiddushin called Mekudeshes Midin Arev, which means that if a woman, instead of accepting kiddushin, she says, Tain mana leploni, give that mana, that sum of money, to so-and-so, v'akadesh ani lecha. Now in kiddushin, she has to receive the money from the Makadesh. But the Gemara says, Mekudeshes Midin Arev, because since she instructed the Makadesh to deliver the money to so-and-so, when that so-and-so receives the money, it's as if Al Pidin she received the money, because she instructed him to give the money to that person. Says the Ramban, Chas v'shalom, we're not bringing a carbon to Azazel, to the Tsar and the Satan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of receiving our carbon, he says, give it to the Satan. And Mekudeshes Midin Arev, because God requested of us, instead of personally, Kaviyochel, receiving the carbon, to give the carbon and deliver it to the Azazel, to the Tsar and the Satan, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu received the carbon. So therefore, it's really a carbon brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, the rational mind, the curious mind, would like to know the answer to the question, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask on this Holy of Holy Days that instead of receiving the carbon, as he will with the second Tsar that's brought in the Mikdash, give it to the Azazel? What is the deeper meaning of giving that Sawyer to Azazel? And how could it possibly impact on our experience this year of Yom HaKippur? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Yoma that not only is a karbon mechaper, but Yisurin mechaper. Yisurim loosely translates as suffering. What kind of suffering are we dealing with? Basically, we can speak about physical suffering, those who nebuch suffer from diseases. We could talk about psychological anguish, and all of us, to some extent, will suffer from those kind of yisurim. But let's take psychological anguish and ask ourselves the following question. Where and why do these Yisurim come about? Are we not guilty, perhaps, of bringing these Yisurim upon ourselves? Now look, I can understand that if a person, for the sake of observing Shabbos, he will be excluded by some of his neighbors, and he will suffer loneliness and isolation. I can understand that if a person wants to send his children to yeshivas, and I don't have to tell you what tuition is like today in yeshivas, here in Israel we have it a little easier, and he has to be moser nefesh to spend money for the sake of sending his children and giving them a Jewish education. I understand that if you give tzedakah, you're going to suffer a little bit if you give significant sums. Those Yisurim, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos, which are inherent in the mitzvos themselves, for sure, will generate the principle of Yisurim Mechaper. But what about all our other Yisurim? What about the suffering that we bring upon ourselves as a result of competition, as a result of climbing a very steep hill in order to reach the top, and the anguish that we suffer because we desire kavod, and we run after honor and glory, and we are so disappointed when we don't achieve it. There's so much suffering that we have that is a result not of mitzvos, but rather of averos. And those yisurim could never be considered a karban, because that karban is a karban l'azazel. Azazel represents satan, and the satan works overtime to bring upon us situations in which, as a result of our sins of redifas mammon and redifas kavod and so forth, taivos, we end up suffering yisurim for the sake of azazel, not for the sake of Hashem. I understand that there's a chatos l'Hashem, that yisurin is a substitute for a carbon chatos l'Hashem, when the mitzvos that we dedicate ourselves to bring about yisurim, those yisurim of a carbon chatos l'Hashem. But the yisurim that we bring upon ourselves, mostly in the psychological realm, but sometimes even in the physical realm, those yisurim are yisurim l'azazel. And here again comes the great compassion, the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is sitting on the Kisei HaKavod on Yom HaKippurim, and he is willing to accept a karman l'azazel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now expands the principle of yisurim mechaprim. Not only yisurim that are result, and they come about in the footsteps of Mesiris Nefesh, in order to fulfill God's will and implement his mitzvahs, those for sure can be considered as a karban chatos l'Hashem. But on this day of Yom HaKippurim, Ashreichem Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, send that soyer l'azazel, I will receive your karban. That's really a result of azazel, of the yisurim that you suffered because the satan somehow seduced you to violate the Torah, to get all these kinds of suffering and anguish. So what message do we have for this Yom HaKippurim? Number one, to identify with Knesset Yisrael, to increase and intensify our belief that Sof Yisrael lachzor v'tshuva. Number two, although we don't have the Sora Mishtalech, we can learn about the Sora Mishtalech. And in our Torah study, we understand that we on Yom HaKippurim are telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu all those sufferings, anguish, and psychological distress that we brought about ourselves because we subjugated ourselves to Azazel. We wanted to say to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, in your compassion, take all that suffering and consider it as a Karban L'Hashem. Consider it as Yisurim Mechaprim. And in these ways, Yom HaKippurim becomes a great day of Simcha. But finally, I would like to add another element to the equation about our kavanos and our tefillos this year. And by way of mashal, let me describe to you the mirpeset that's just a few feet away from where I'm sitting, outside my study. I go out to my mirpeset, and I identify with nature. On this Yom Kippur, many of us will be davening inside our homes. Others will be davening on a mirpeset. What is it that could possibly enhance our tefillah and our supplications on Yom HaKippurim when we daven out on a mirpeset? And as you know, this Shabbos is Parshas Hazino. We've already learned about the bris, the covenantal relationship between the Almighty and Knesset Yisrael in Parshas Nitzavim, when we enter into that bris. But this week's Parsha adds another element to the bris of Parshas Nitzavim. Hazinu Hashamayim Vadabera V'Sishma Ha'aretz Imrei Pi. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu invokes heaven and earth for the sake of this bris, in order to clinch this covenant with Knesset Yisrael. And Rashi is troubled. Why? In a sense, Moshe Rabbeinu appoints two witnesses, heaven and earth. Rashi says the following, based on the Medrash. He says, have you ever seen the sun rising in the west? Have you ever seen the sun setting in the east? Have you ever planted wheat and reaped corn? What is the profound message of the opening verse and the bris of Hazinu Hashamayim Ve'aretz? God is the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. He is the sovereign ruler over the universe. But I'm going to ask a radical question. Is that really so? Can I actually believe and declare that God is the sovereign ruler of the universe? Well, yes and no. The universe is comprised of two different dimensions. There's the natural universe of material beings, of physical objects. These are governed by the laws of nature. The laws of nature are the Shulchan Aruch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, in this universe. When a person goes out and he appreciates a sunrise, a sunset, when a farmer goes out and sees that his plants are blossoming, his wheat is growing in the fields, when I go out on a starry night and I see the constellations, I thank Hashem, and out of a sense of gratitude, I acknowledge that God is the sovereign ruler, He's the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, because everything that happens in the natural universe is an expression of God's divine will. And within that universe, God is the absolute king. He's the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. There's no deviation whatsoever. There's zero tolerance when it comes to violating the laws of nature. So if a person smokes and he's a chain smoker, I can guarantee you he's going to damage his lungs. And if a person drinks too much alcohol, I can guarantee you that it's going to have a detrimental effect on his liver, an impact on his body. There's no way out. We are absolutely governed by God's will in nature. And to go out and recite a bracha and acknowledge, this is what a Jew is all about. Mea brachos b'chol yom. The purpose of the brachos is to link us up with this natural universe, such that in every natural phenomenon that we encounter, we see the hand of God. For the Goyim, perhaps, nature conceals God. Where is God? As the Russian astronaut was famously saying, or infamously saying, when he was sent up for orbit, the first Soviet, I looked for God here, there, and elsewhere, and I couldn't find him. But for a Jew, nature is the greatest revelation of the Almighty, and the Ramban repeats this more than once, especially at the end of Parshas Bo, in his commentary on the Torah, when he says that all of natural phenomena, which we call a Nes Nistar, is really a Nes Golui. And there's no difference between a Nes Nistar and a Nes Golui. And that's what the bracha is all about, when we go out and we thank Hashem, and we recite the brachos every morning. But there's another dimension to the universe, and that is the dimension of man. The dimension of freedom of will, freedom of choice. The dimension of human morality. And here, with a krechts, I complain that God's malchus, His sovereign rulership, is far, far from being a reality. Man refuses to accept the Almighty God as his sovereign ruler. Man has a rebellious streak, almost a natural gravitational pull, a tendency to be autonomous in the moral area. I will tell you what's moral and what's not moral, says man. And so we have the secular society, both in the West, and we'll find it, of course, in the former Soviet Union, and evil and a Moloch that tragically reigns so supreme. And I say the following, that this Yom Kippur, I can believe that there will be a redemption. I can embrace the vision of Malchios that we recited twice and will recite again on Yom HaKippurim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the Melech al Kol Haaretz, not just in the natural universe, but in the moral universe of man as well. That man will bend his knees and will accept God as the sovereign ruler of the entire universe. I can believe that. And why on this Yom Kippur can I believe that? Because God's sovereign rulership in nature is so obvious. It is absolutely apparent on this year more than any other year. And you know what? Chazal tell us, Igmar Brachos, Kishem Shebevarchim, Ala Tova, Kach Mevarchim, Ala Ra'ah. Rashi says we have to have the same feeling of the Ra'ah. How can I thank Hashem for coronavirus? It's mad. It's insane. But the answer is, because coronavirus is a great expression and a very profound revelation of God's mastery over the universe. That God is in fact the Ribon HaOlamim, the Adon HaAdonim, the Ribon HaShelOlam controls nature. And as great as man is, and many have said this before, all the technological advances, we still don't really know what this business is all about. And only He, in heaven, understands what this is about. But we on earth see this as an expression, and we're going to acknowledge our faith in God as the absolute ruler, the sovereign king of the universe because of this coronavirus. And we say with the Kal Vachomer, if God could be the sovereign ruler over inanimate objects, over germs, or the physical finite objects, then Kal Vachomer, man who's endowed with Tzelem Elokim, with the spiritual element of being able to make the right choices, man has tremendous potential. And I say this, Kol Yitzurcha, as we say in Davening, for all of mankind, and how much more so for Bnei Abris, for Klal Yisrael, the potential is awesome. And when we recite those tefillos of Keser Yitnu Lecha, the beautiful singing and liturgy of Yomim Noraim that's going to come to a climax in Mirtz Hashem on this Yom HaKippurim, when we sing about the Hachtorah, the coronation of Almighty God as the sovereign ruler of the universe, as the Navi tells us, V'hoya b'yom ahu, Yi Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, God will be the sovereign rule, not just over the physical universe and all these manifestations, but over man as well. And therefore I say that this Yom Kippur, when we go out on our porches and we experience nature, we have here some beautiful things growing. We have olives growing, we have grapes growing, we have pomegranates growing. Just send me an email and I'll send you some pomegranates from our garden. On this day of Yom HaKippurim, when we perceive God's control over nature, and we acknowledge through our brachos, the Yad Hashem, let us go a step further and express our emunah, our faith, that Hashem Yeh Melech, that God will be the sovereign ruler, not just over the animals, not just over the plants and the vegetation, and over the stars and the constellations, but over the hearts of man, over the freedom of choice of man, and man will God's will, v'yehei ritzoni lasos ritzonecha. So this Yom HaKippurim has a great message of faith. Ashreichem Yisrael. If we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, if we don't have the Kohen Gadol, going with Naivu Lifnim, with the seven Azos Lamata, and the Azoachas Lamala, if we don't have the Sora Mishtaleach, which is going to bring about a kapara for all the sins, if it's Ashrei Ayin Asherasa and Dova Libenu, if we have the element of Avelus because we are so missing that beautiful and perfect kapara of Yom HaKippur Bizman Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, Ashreichem Yisrael. Because we can replace the Beis HaMikdash to the extent that we can by our tefillos, by our learning of Torah, but most important, by our emunah, by our faith. Number one, our faith in Knesset Yisrael, that Sof Yisrael lachzor b'tshuva, that I will take my step forward, and I will make my contribution to Knesset Yisrael by doing my tshuva, and I will realize that all the Yisurim and the anguish that I brought upon myself for silly things and for silly reasons, that I now want to dedicate them as a korban lazazel. If I have emunah, if I have faith, that Sof Yisrael lachzor b'tshuva, that the redemption is hopefully around the corner, afal pi sheyismameach chakalo b'chol yom, if I have faith in the bris of kulchem nitzavim hayom, a bris that is strengthened by the witnesses of Shamayim v'aretz, of the physical universe, and I see that God and His sovereignty manifests itself in the physical universe and in the most extreme way in this coronavirus, then I know and I believe with my full heart in the day, that glorious day of Ahoya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz, when God will be the king, not just over physical, finite, material world and the natural universe, but God will in fact be the king over man, over our freedom of choice. May we be zoche to see speedily in our days the fulfillment of all these prophecies of Ashreichem Yisrael. Let us enter into Yom HaKippurim with a sense of elevation, with those machshavos, those tfilos, which indicate how great Knesset Yisrael is, and our power to bring about the geula and the redemption through our tshuva. And with those thoughts, Amir Tzashem, we will achieve Lo Hayu Yomim Tovim Li Yisrael Ki Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim will be a great day of simcha, of ecstasy and rejoicement, no matter where we're davening, inside, outside, in a shul, outside a shul, we will identify with those tefillos, we will contribute our tshuva, and therefore be part of and believe in the greatness of Knesset Yisrael. Yi ratzon that we will see this coming to fruition in our time. Kein yi ratzon. Amen. Wishing everyone a gemara chasima tova. Thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Yisar koach. Gemara tova.
Gemara chasima tova.
Amen. Tada.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
My mother, just beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very much. Gemar chatima tova.
Gemar chatima tova. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Take care. Wonderful. Hello to your wife.
I will. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Thank you, Shmuel.
Rabbi, the Shabbat Shuva video is going out right now to the group.
Thank you so much.